Inspector West. Calling Chief Inspector West.
Stand by for West. A crime file based on John Creasy's novel, Inspector West at Home, dramatized for radio by Maurice Travers. Inspector West at Home, starring Patrick Allen as Chief Inspector Roger West of Scotland Yard, and Sarah Lawson as his wife, Janet. Part 5, A Girl for a Hostage.
Let's see. January 10th, 11th, 12th. Ah, here we are. Ooh, my head. What? Oh, Superintendent Abbott.
That's you, is it, West? I saw the light on in here. Wondered who it was at this hour. Thought you'd gone home.
Any minute now. Just getting something out of my files.
I'd have said you'd had enough for one day after taking that caution on the head from Whistler Malone.
I'm still on my feet.
Uh-huh. Only just by the look of it.
I survive. You'll be putting an alarm out for Malone, of course.
It's already been seen to.
Good.
But he'll have gone to ground. He and that Pickerel character. That's for certain.
Not too bad they got away. If you and your men had just happened to get to the Fleming's flat 5 minutes sooner...
If my aunt had just happened to be my uncle, she'd have ridden a man's bicycle.
I'm not complaining, Superintendent. Lucky for me you showed up when you did. I'm damn glad I arranged with Mark Lessing to call you.
Yeah. Would have been simpler to make the arrangement with me in the first place, West.
Would it? When I was suspended from duty?
And now that's no longer the case, Chief Inspector. Let's hope you'll stick to the proper procedures for the future, hmm?
A superintendent, there's something I'd like to ask.
Well?
When we were in Sir Guy Chatworth's office and he lifted my suspension, I had the feeling that you didn't agree.
Did you? Don't go by feelings, West. I've told you that before now.
And I was mistaken. You do approve.
The assistant commissioner's made his decision. It's now a fact. That's all I go by. Facts.
Well, here's another fact. The attempt to frame me indicates some big operation, and I'm going to find out exactly what it is.
Don't get any fancy one-man band ideas. You're still working under me, I'll remind you.
That's precisely the point. And because we've got to work together smoothly, I'd like to know just where we stand. If you still have any reservations about me, any suspicions, let's have them out in the open.
You're forgetting yourself, Chief Inspector.
Look, you listened to that tape recording. You heard the conversation between Pickerel and Lois Randall. You don't imagine I could have faked it all, do you? You'd have to be crazy to think that.
West, if I... For this once, Chief Inspector, I'll make allowances for you. You've had a bad time. Taken a beating from Malone and his mob, so I'll overlook it. Now, I suggest you get off home. Or to that hotel where you've got the Randall girl hidden away.
Oh, is that it? Is that what's got your back up?
Very well, if you must know. I consider it highly irregular. If that girl has any information, she should be brought to the yard for questioning in the proper manner.
And you'd never get a squeak out of them. You heard what I told Chatworth. Lois Randall's scared. She's under Pickerel's thumb for what reason, I don't know.
That is as may be.
And she's in danger. There's nothing Pickerel and Malone would like better than to get their hands on her. That's why I put her and her fiancé in Leggett's Hotel. My wife's there as well, so is Mark Lessing. Now, if we can protect that girl, get her to trust us. She might tell us what she knows.
There is no point in going over all this again, West. The assistant commissioner has decided to allow you leeway in the matter, so there's nothing to be gained by discussing it any further.
No, there isn't, is there? We'll never see eye to eye, will we? We just don't look at police work in the same way. So I'll say good night, Superintendent. Or should it be good morning?
Darling?
Hmm?
Oh, good. You're awake. It's all right, Mark. In you come.
Good morning, Chief Inspector.
Oh, what's all this?
Breakfast in bed, sir.
Yeah. Now, what about you two?
Oh, we've had breakfast.
Oh, have you?
Yes, down in the dining room with Miss Randall and Bill Tennant.
Now, how is the girl this morning?
Well, she's very quiet. She's hardly said a word.
Yeah. I told them what happened to you last night. I thought if she knew about Malone assaulting you, it might make her more willing to talk.
But all it did was to make her even more subdued than ever, I'm afraid.
Well, of course. What else could you expect? The idea is to reassure the girl, not scare her even more. It was a damn silly thing to do, Mark.
You're right, of course. I'm sorry, Roger. Still, maybe our fiancé will persuade her to tell us. Young Tennant got pretty head up about it. It was as much as I could do to restrain him from tearing out to help look for the Whistler.
Would you like me to pour your tea now, darling?
Oh, yes, thanks, Jim.
What I'd like is to hear all about that tape recording. Come on, Roger. The suspense is killing me.
Well, we can't have that, can we? Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jim.
Well, Roger, all I know is that it was a conversation between Pickerel and Miss Randall, and it's put you in the clear.
Yes, but there's more to it, Mark. It seems that my frame-up was organized as a precaution, a safety measure.
How do you mean?
Oh, apparently, one day, some months ago, I was connected with a case that put the wind up Pickerel and his friends, whoever they may be. They were worried I might have stumbled on the truth about it. So, there must be something I missed.
Have you any idea when it was?
Yes, Jan, a very good idea. On the tape, Pickerel muttered something about the unlucky 13th and superstition.
So that means the 13th of the month. But which month?
January.
How do you know that?
Well, it's easy enough to work out, Jan.
Not for me, it isn't.
Well, think a minute. Those payments Pickerel forced Lois Randall to make to my bank account.
Oh, yes, I think I see it. Those payments started in January.
And the first one was in the middle of the month.
But that's great, Roger. All you have to do is to check up on what you were doing on the 13th of January, and you'll know what Pickerel and his friends were so worried about.
Simple as that, eh?
Well, isn't it?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, Roger.
I thought just as you did, Mark. That's why I dug this, this file out. My report's for the 13th of January. But if there's anything here that I overlooked, I'm damned if I know what it is.
Well, what were you doing on that day?
Well, I was in my office at the yard most of the morning, winding up some reports on suspicious activities by number of aliens resident in London. Well, that turned out to be a storm in a teacup. Then I was called south of the river to Battersea. Spent the rest of the day there.
On what?
A murder case. Ah, wretched little business. The victim was a man named Benny Cox. He owned a house in Newfield Street. It was let out as rooms, except for the basement, where he lived with his brother Alfred. Oh, any more tea going, Jan?
Yes, of course.
Well, the local police charged the brother with the murder. The two men were known to be on bad terms. There'd been frequent quarrels and all the rest of it.
Yeah, darling.
Oh, thanks. But when it came to the trial, Alfred Cox got off. The evidence against him was mainly circumstantial. He had a good defense counsel and the jury acquitted him. I gather he sold the house in Newfield Street and left London.
I see.
Oh, for the life of me, I can't find any connection between all that... Oh, blast!
What?
I'm an idiot! What if the Battersea business has nothing to do with it at all? Suppose what Pickerel meant was the other case.
But the thing with the aliens?
Yes, Jan, yes. Maybe that wasn't such a storm in a teacup after all. I just remembered something Mrs. Fleming said when she gave me the tape before Malone and Pickerel burst in.
Well, what did she say?
She wondered if her society was possibly being used to cover some kind of espionage activity. You see what I mean, Mark?
Suspected alien.
Yes.
The European Relief and Assistance Society. That certainly sounds like a connection.
Jan, take this tray, will you?
Now, Roger Westers, what do you think you're doing?
I'm getting out of bed.
Oh, no. You're not. You're to stay there all day. Now, that head of yours...
My head's got to go to work and take me with it.
Oh.
Now, you two can look after things here. Jan, I want you to talk to Lois Randall. See if she'll confide in you. She just might respond better to a warning. If you do get anything out of her, you know where to get me. At the yard.
What did you say? Espionage?
Yes, Superintendent.
You're sure you're not going over the edge on this, West?
Where this case is concerned, I'm not sure of anything yet, sir.
Yeah, well, it seems a bit far-fetched to me.
Well, there's no harm in checking on it, is there? Merely a matter of having a word with the commander in charge of the special branch. See if he or the security men have any reason to suspect the European Relief and Assistance Society.
Hmm.
Well, have I your okay to go to Sir Guy Chatworth about it?
My okay? Chief Inspector, you wouldn't be trying to take the mickey by any chance.
Not at all, sir. Just going by the book. Observing the rules as you require, Superintendent.
In which case, as your superior officer, you should know that I'm the one to speak to the Assistant Commissioner. I'll take it up with him sometime today.
Right, sir. You'll let me know the results, won't you? Good morning, Bob.
Roger, it's good to see you. Here, grab this chair.
All right, thanks.
Oh, I'm damn glad to know you're in the clear. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. News gets around fast.
Too true. When it comes to rumor and gossip, I've discovered the yard's worse than a girls' school. Anyway, it's great to have you back.
Well, feels pretty good, I must admit. Even though I still have the voice of doom to cope with.
Superintendent Abbott,
yes.
And we all. Roger, have you got any clues as to what was behind your frame-up?
Well, nothing definite enough to call a clue. Now, tell me, Bob, have you still got a man watching Welbeck Street?
The European Thingamajig Society's offices? Yes, they're under observation. It's nothing to do with me anymore. Abbott's put his own detective sergeant in charge of it.
Oh, Tiny Mears?
Mm.
Now that he's no longer needed to watch my house in Bell Street, huh?
All right.
Well, what are you doing then?
Well, I'm off down to AZ Division to do some nosing around. Abbott's idea. Seeing it's my old manor and Whistler Malone's stamping ground, he thinks I might get a lead on where Malone and his mate Pickerel have got to.
Well, I hope you do. If we can lay our hands on that pair, especially Mr. Pickerel, we'd break this case wide open.
Maybe. But if you ask me, it's the last place Malone would hide out.
Or perhaps that's just what he'd like us to think.
Could be, I suppose. Anyway, you've still got the other string to your bow, haven't you?
Hmm?
That girl, Lois Randall.
Well, how did you come to know about that?
Haven't I just told you? This place is just one big gossip factory. She hasn't talked yet, I gather.
No, not yet.
I'll bet Abbott's not happy about that.
You'd win your bet. He wants her brought back to the yard for questioning. But for the moment, Chatwood's letting me play it my way. Of course, that position could change.
How, Roger?
Well, if Abbott should decide to make an issue out of it, and the assistant commissioner should change his mind, I'd have no option. I'd have to take Lois Randall out of Leggett's hotel and bring her here. All I hope is that Jan gets the girl to talk before anything like that happens.
I've told you, Mrs. West, it's just a waste of time asking me questions.
Lois, dear.
It's no use.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Lois.
Mr.
Anyone would think we were trying to do you harm. All I want is to help you, me most of all.
Oh, Bill, I've told you and told you, you can't help me. Nobody can.
How the hell do you know when you won't even give us the chance?
Mr. Tennant, I think you ought to leave us alone. Then Lois and I can have a little chat just by ourselves.
Oh, all right. If you think you can do anything with it, I obviously can't.
Bill! He's really angry with me.
Well, it won't last. No man could stay angry for long with a pretty girl like you. Now, why don't you come and sit down? Here.
All right.
There, that's better. What a beautiful ring that is, Lois. An absolutely gorgeous diamond. Did Bill give you that?
No, it was my mother's.
Lucky girl. I'm a mother, Lois. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I have two boys. Martin's 11 and Richard's a year younger. They're up in Gloucestershire with my cousin at the moment for school holidays. But when they're at home, they can be quite a handful.
I suppose so.
But there's one thing. If ever they find themselves in trouble, they come straight to us with it. To me or to their father.
Mrs. West...
No, don't say anything. I just want you to listen for a moment. You're in trouble. You're frightened. We're trying to help. And it's not because we need you to clear Roger's name. It's no longer necessary. He has already done that for himself. We know that man Pickerel forced you into doing what you did. And we've brought you here to protect you. But whatever hold he's got over you, Lois, sooner or later it'll have to come out. Wouldn't it be better and easier for you if it were sooner? If you told us the whole story? Well, I don't want you to answer me now. I'm going to leave you to have a think about it. Just have a think. That's all.
Janet?
Oh, you're here too, Mark.
Well, how did you get on?
Yes. Any luck, Mrs. West? Has Lois told you what he's all about?
Well, I'm hoping she'll decide to, Mr. Tennant. Now, for the moment, the best thing to do is to leave her alone. Let her make up her mind. Look, Mark, I'm going out. I've got a little shopping to do.
I'll come with you.
Oh, no, don't be silly. There's no need for that. I just want a few things from the chemist. There's one just round the corner. You stay here with Mr. Tennant. I won't be very long.
Chief Inspector West.
Bob Cornish here, Roger.
Oh, hello, Bob. What news from AZ Division?
Nothing you'll enjoy hearing.
Well, no trace of Malone or Pickerel?
Not a sniff of them, so far, anyway.
Oh. What about the Whistler strong-arm boys?
Same goes for them. A lot of them seem to have done a scarper by the looks of it.
Oh.
Seems if I was right, doesn't it?
Yeah. What are you going to do, pack it in?
Well, not just yet. I'll hang on a bit longer. I wouldn't like Abbott to think I've left any unturned stones or unexplored avenues.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, well, something may turn up. You never know your luck in a big city, as they say.
All right, Bob. Bye for now. Luck. There was nothing better than that to rely on. Oh, West here.
Roger, it's Mark.
Oh, hello, Mark. Everything all right?
I'm not sure, Roger.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know if I should be ringing you, really. I may be jumping the gun.
Well, come to the point, Mark. What is it?
I'm a bit worried about Janet.
What? What's happened?
Well, she went out to get a few things from the chemist round the corner, and she's not back yet.
Well, how long has she been gone? When did she leave the hotel?
Well, it's at least an hour ago now, Roger.
An hour?
Yes.
Well, maybe she's taking a stroll or something.
Well, that's what I thought. And then I got to thinking about the last time she took a stroll through St. James's Park, and what happened?
Yes, but that was different. Oh. Hang on a moment, Mark. That's my other phone. Chief Inspector West. Hello? Hello, who's that?
Slow on the draw, aren't you, Coffin?
Malone.
Now, if you've got any smart ideas like trying to trace this call, forget them. You won't get the time. Besides, I got someone with me. Go on, let him hear you.
Roger.
Jan.
They grabbed me in the street. I was on the way back to the hotel and a car pulled up. And,
okay, that's enough.
Malone.
Well, you heard her, Amos?
If you've laid a finger on her,
you
Malone...
You what? Now, don't make me laugh, Copper. I'm calling the tune and you know it. But she's all in one piece. So far. And I'll offer you a deal.
What deal?
You got someone I want, I've got someone you want.
You...
It's a straight swap, West. Your wife for the Randall doll.
Malone,
save
you can't...
Save your breath. And listen to my orders. You get over to that Leggett's Hotel.
How the hell did you know about that?
I got ways of finding out. Now, you collect the girl, just you and her, in your car, and you'll be outside the Victoria and Albert Museum in 45 minutes.
Now, listen, Malone, I...
And listen, I said. One of my boys will be waiting at the museum. He'll tell you where to go from there. 45 minutes, West. Got that?
Yes.
And no funny tricks. No other coppers, no shrewd capers. Or your missus winds up dead. Stone, doornail, dead.
Well, I think that's about all. I've explained the whole situation, and we've got to deal with it ourselves. I daren't bring the Yard or any other police into this, so... So it's up to you three.
Well, you know my answer, Roger, without asking.
The same goes for me, Inspector.
Thanks, Bill. But Lois is the vital one. Well, Lois, unless you agree to...
Oh, of course she agrees, don't you, Lois? Oh,
Bill, I'm so frightened.
And what about Mrs. West, How do you think she's feeling at this minute? If she and the Inspector hadn't tried to help you, this wouldn't have happened. Oh, listen, sweetheart, there's no other way. You can't refuse now, can you?
But if anything goes wrong...
I can't guarantee that it won't, Lois. I haven't tried to hide that.
It's a risk, love. But you've got to take it. You know you have, don't you?
Yes, all right. I'll do it.
That's my girl.
Thank you, Lois. I won't forget this. Now, we'll have to get moving. Mark, you take one of these. I'll have the other.
Right.
What are they?
Two-way radios, Lois. Mini size. Unofficial courtesy of Scotland Yard. Malone's playing this cagey. We'll do the same. I've arranged with the hotel proprietor to borrow his car. Here are the keys, Bill.
Oh, thanks.
You and Mark follow my car, but keep at a reasonable distance. Don't make it obvious. Understood?
Understood, Inspector.
Right, this is it, then. Let's go. And good luck to us.
Ah, look. They're pulling up in front of the Victoria and Albert now. Slow down a bit, Bill.
Okay. Now, wait a minute.
What?
There's someone going up to them.
Ah, yes. That'll be Malone's man.
And the inspector's moving off again.
Where to now, I wonder?
Mark, hello. Are you receiving me?
Yes, Roger. Loud and clear.
My next stop's the Fulham Road, St. Stephen's Hospital. There'll be another man there with further instructions.
Malone's not taking any chances, is he?
No.
Okay, we'll be behind you, Roger.
Right.
Bill, you heard him. The Fulham Road.
Right.
We've got to get past that lorry.
First chance I get, Mark.
I can't see Roger's car for that lumbering grip.
Hold it. Yes, we're in luck. The lorry's turning off.
Oh, thank heavens.
And there's the hospital. Up ahead.
Yes. But where's Roger? There's no sign of the car.
He's taken a side turning for sure. But which one?
Well, it should be safe enough to call him now. Roger, do you receive me? Come in, please.
I'm receiving you, Mark, yes.
We've lost you. Where are you?
I'm in Tadema Road. I've just crossed King's Road from Gunter Grove.
Bill, it's the second on the left. Roger, where are you making for?
You'll never believe it, Mark. I was just going to call you. I'm heading for my final destination, Bell Street.
What?
Yes, that's where Malone's got Jan and where the exchange takes place. In our own home.
Good heavens.
Yes, it's a crafty move. With us all at the hotel, the house empty and no police watch on the place. Now, Mark... Here's what I want you and Bill to do. Listen carefully.
Right. I'm listening, Roger. Fire away.
Well, here we are, Lewis. This is my house. That'll be Malone's car for sure.
What happens now?
We wait right here.
I don't understand.
In case he's playing any tricks. We don't budge from this car till I know for certain Jan's in there. He'll have at least one of his thugs with him. They'll be watching for us. So it's the Whistler's next move.
Look! At the downstairs window.
It's Jan.
Well, Inspector?
All right. Ready to go, Lois?
Yes, I'm ready.
Come on, then.
Right.
Lois, keep calm. Don't think. Just walk up the path to the front door. Easy, Lois. It'll be all right.
Well, hello, copper. Welcome home.
Pretty pleased with yourself, aren't you, Malone?
Why not? You've done what you were told, brought the doll. Now me and the boys will take her off your hands. Curly, Jim, let's go.
Not so fast, Malone. Inside, Lois. Yes.
What's the idea?
I'll see my wife first, if you don't mind. In the living room, isn't she? Jan?
Roger, darling.
Are you all right?
Not a mark on her copper. Satisfied?
Not quite. In you go, Lois. Stay with Jan.
What the hell?
You and your boys aren't taking anyone anywhere, Malone.
You're a raving nutter. We're 3-1.
I've got reinforcements.
Where? The Chelsea pensioners' home?
No, right behind you on the stairs. Mark, Bill, all right, let's take them. Come on. Well, that's a good job done. Now, by the look of them, these beauties of ours have had more than enough.
Definitely, Inspector.
You and Mark couldn't have timed it better, Bill, I must say.
Well, I was a bit worried in case we'd be too late.
Yeah, that's a smart idea of yours, Inspector. Sending us the back way to climb in upstairs.
Well, that's exactly what a good friend of mine did for me a few days ago, Bill.
Huh?
That's what gave me the idea. Anyway, nice work all round, huh?
Oh, it's a pleasure. I enjoyed myself.
Well, it was right up your street. I mean, an unarmed combat instructor, you're a professional.
You didn't do so badly yourself, you know, Mark.
Well, nice of you to say so. I must admit I'm not entirely displeased with my little performance, considering this kind of thing is hardly my forte. I'm not used to doing anything more belligerent than bashing a typewriter.
Hello, hello. Mr. Malone seems to be coming round.
Copper. I'll get you one day.
It'll be a long way ahead, Whistler. You and your mates are going into my garage till I've called the squad cars. Then you're going into a cell.
You won't keep me in one, West. No coppers can hold me. You'll see. I've got ways.
What you've got is a big mouth, Malone, that's all. Come on, up on your feet. Right, Mark, Bill, take the other two. Yep. I'll call the yard and we'll get these comedians locked away. Then I want to talk with Lois. Perhaps all this will convince her to tell us what she knows.
Yes, all right, Inspector. I know it can't be put off any longer. I'll tell you everything I know.
That's fine.
You're doing the right thing, Lois, love.
Am I, Bill?
Roger, perhaps Lois would rather talk to you alone.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Mrs. West. It's all got to come out now.
Why don't you sit down, Lois?
Thank you, but I'd rather stand, Mr. Lessing.
Lois, just remember this. Malone's on his way to a cell. Pickerel's a hunted man. You've nothing to fear from them. And certainly nothing to fear from me after what you've done today.
But you're a police officer, Inspector West. You'll have to do your duty.
Lois, what's that supposed to mean?
It means I'm going to lose you. You won't want to marry a thief, Bill, and that's what I am.
I see. Well, we'll get one thing straight before you go any further. I'll do the deciding about who I want to marry, and I'm going to marry you, girl, whether you're a thief or a thumping idiot. So that's settled.
Bill...
All right, now let's hear it, Lois. You say you're a thief.
Yes. You see this diamond?
Your mother's ring? Lois.
I lied to you, Mrs. West. It's what I told everyone. But the truth is I stole it from a jeweler's shop. It was just an impulse. You see, I'd bought a cheap bracelet and I was waiting for my change. There was a tray of rings on the counter. A couple had been looking at them.
Now, what's all this got to do with Pickerel?
Well, that was the beginning.
What, you mean you went on stealing? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, that was the first and only time, Bill. I swear it was. But someone saw me do it. A man. He was outside looking through the window.
Pickerel! And that's how he came to have the hold over you?
Oh, no, Mrs. West. Pickerel didn't come into it until later.
Then who saw you take the ring? Whistler Malone?
No, but it was someone who worked for Malone. It was a horrible little man. His name was Cox.
What name did you say?
Cox. Benny Cox.
Well, I'm damned. Roger.
Oh, hold it, Mark. Lois, did he live in Battersea, Newfield Street, Battersea?
Yes, but how did you know that?
And you say he worked for Malone.
Yes. Cox followed me home that day. And the next evening, Malone turned up. He threatened me, said I'd go to prison unless I did whatever they told me. He really frightened me. I was terrified of him.
So you did as they wanted?
Yes.
And what did they want?
Well, it was delivering things mostly, parcels and packages.
What was in these parcels?
I never knew. Then one day, Malone came and said Benny Cox was dead and told me I was to go to the European Relief and Assistance Society, to Pickrell. I was to work as his secretary.
And what else?
Continue what I'd been doing, taking packages to various places. And then the business of paying the money into your bank started, Inspector.
And you don't know what was really behind all that?
No.
Hadn't you any idea what Pickering was up to?
No, Mrs. West. I only knew it was something illegal.
Well, this doesn't get us much further, Roger, does it?
Well, at least it rules out the espionage theory, Mark.
Yes.
But because of the date of the tape recording.
Exactly, Jan. Pickrell was afraid I'd hit on the truth of something I was working on that day. So it was the Benny Cox murder after all. That's where the answer lies. In whatever it was I missed on the 13th of January.
Been listening to Patrick Allen and Sarah Lawson in the fifth part of Inspector West at Home by John Creasy. Listen to Clue from a Captive, the next episode of John Fawcett Wilson's production of Inspector West at Home.